Warren Buffett, BlackRock, and other institutional players dominate investments in commercial aviation. Why? Because it's one of the most profitable and predictable alternative assets that exists. And it's not tied to other markets, such as real estate and the stock market. Is it safe? Well, imagine triple net leases to the likes of American Airlines and British Airways. Income is contractual and guaranteed by some of the biggest named airlines in the world. That's why this kind of investment was never available to the ordinary accredited investor. That is until now. Visit accesswealthaviation.com and check it out for yourself. Invest in an institutional team with over 200 plus years of combined investment experience in the aviation sector. Conservative investing with double-digit returns and tax advantages. That's accesswealthaviation.com. accesswealthaviation.com.
You are listening to the Wealth Formula Podcast with Buck Joffrey. Get ready to change your life.
Welcome, everybody. This is Buck Joffrey with the Wealth Formula Podcast, coming to you from Montecito, California. And today, before we begin, I do want to remind you that there is a website that's associated with this podcast called wealthformula.com. That is where there's all sorts of goodies waiting for you to log into. Lots of free downloads there. And it's also the place where you will go if you want to sign up or are an accredited investor group, if you are an accredited investor and you want to go through that onboarding process and potentially be involved with some deal flow. Again, that is only for accredited investors. And then the other thing that you might consider, especially after these kinds of podcasts that we've been doing recently, is the Wealth Formula Network, which is our private community. It starts out with a course called Your Roadmap to Real Wealth. And then that gives you the fundamentals in which you can then deploy into some higher level conversations with other members through our Facebook group and also our live Zoom video conferences biweekly. And those are just really good opportunities for you to get more involved, get more learning, peer learning, etc. So anyway, check that out if you're interested in that group. It's wealthformularoadmap.com. Now, it's for today, I got to tell you a story about the purple pill, as I call it. In June of 2008, I had just completed my surgical residency and gotten married the day after graduation. Now, I'm not married anymore, but there was already quite a bit of change in my life at this point. On the way back from that honeymoon, I looked for something to read at that Puerto Vallarta airport. And as you can imagine, not many choices for reading. That's not exactly the type of place you go if you really want to get some, you know, some highly intellectual stuff. Most people heading back stateside are really just too hungover to read on the plane. So bare minimum stuff, you know, there's a shelf, there's like three books available there, and two of them have a picture of some buff dude, long flowing hair, and it's mostly for, you know, like the romance novels, that kind of thing. And then there was this one book called The Cash Flow Quadrant. Now, of course, the author there was and is Robert Kiyosaki. Now, I read that book on the plane. And I've said it before, if you heard me talk about this, I give Robert Kiyosaki a lot of credit for this. But when I read that book, I was never the same again. And in my opinion, it was for the better. Although some may argue in my life that that unleashed the entrepreneurial demon in me and that, you know, maybe that wasn't such a good thing for everybody around me. Anyway, I've heard lots of stories like these, though. It's not just me. You know, it's really incredible, right? And that's why I've been calling this the purple pill as of late. And to this day, I'm not quite sure what exactly it is about those books. I mean, the concepts in them are pretty simple, right? But there's something about the way that Robert explains these concepts that really inspire people, that really makes them get it. There's a simplistic nature of this stuff, even though Robert is a really, really, really smart dude. He likes to play dumb, but he's really smart. But for some reason, he just can get the point across. And to this day, I will say, and I, again, got to give the guy credit, I am quite sure that he's been the impetus behind more millionaires around the world than any other individual, maybe in history. I don't know who else has given so many people some crazy inspiration like he has to go off and be entrepreneurs. Anyway, the funny thing is that some of those concepts that resonated with me like cash flow, for example. Well, they were nothing new. In reality, my dad, who's been in real estate for now, 55, 60 years, something like that. He used to call himself a cash flow investor. I used to ask him, I remember, what do you look for when you look in these apartment buildings? Like, I cared what he was looking for because I didn't really pay much attention to what he was doing. I just knew the phone was ringing off the hook and he was a classic landlord. And he'd say, cash flow. And that was well before the Rich Dad Poor Dad book that was written in the late 90s. Cash flow, he said. And I ignored him. Anyway, the point is that sometimes it's not about what is said, but about how it's said that matters, or maybe who says it, because they make it sound more compelling or more understandable or give it some meaning. And that's why I think having a community of like-minded individuals matters, because sometimes one book like the Cashflow Quadrant can send you down a rabbit hole, right? It can just a lightning bolt. It was, for me, it was a lightning bolt. And all of the sudden you're like, aha, now what? Now what? I don't know what to do now. Who are the people who are doing stuff like me, like I've just been inspired to do? Now I don't even know what to do. I know this is a great idea, but I don't know what to do. Well, anyway, after reading Rich Dad, Poor Dad, Ryan Stieg set out on a journey to figure out how to make sense of it all, you know, after his purple pill experience. And part of that journey led him to Wealth Formula and the Wealth Formula community and ultimately to Wealth Formula Network. So on this week's Wealth Formula podcast, this is number three in the series of three of one-on-one Wealth Formula Journey podcasts. Ryan takes us down the path of a W-2 wage earner towards his trajectory, which looks like it's going to end up being as a full-time investor, probably not that long, knowing Ryan. Anyway, we will have Ryan's story when we come back.
Worried about saving too little too late for retirement? The Wealth Accelerator may be exactly what you need. With the help of some of the oldest and most reliable insurance companies in the country, Wealth Accelerator allows you to take most of the upside of any good year in the stock market and use bank loans to magnify those returns significantly. And what if the stock market has a bad year? No need to fear. Wealth Accelerator is engineered so you don't participate in the losses of the market, no matter how bad of a year it is. Sounds too good to be true, right? But it's not. It's simply the same financial engineering that the ultra wealthy have been doing for years. Now it's your turn. Check it out for yourself by going to wealthformulabanking.com. Again, that's wealthformulabanking.com. Self-storage is a necessary evil. It's where you keep your stuff and forget about it. No wonder this stuff is so profitable and recession-resistant. The Wealth Formula community, well, we've benefited from that. We've made lots of money in this space with Reliant Real Estate, one of the largest self-storage companies in the country. With an average investor internal rate of return of almost 34%, with hold times just over 3.5 years, these guys know what the meaning of velocity of money is. If you're an accredited investor, make sure to check out what they're up to right now at ReliantFund4.com. Again, that's ReliantFund4.com.
Welcome back to the show, everyone. Today, we have episode number three of our sort of real Investors of Wealth Formula County type shows here, where we're basically talking to, you know, real investors in our group, people in our community, our Wealth Formula community, who are going through their own personal financial journeys. And it's been really fun. Today, we have another member of Wealth Formula Network. He's basically in our investor club, very active investor there, and obviously a listener of our group. His name is Ryan Stieg. Ryan, welcome to Wealth Formula Podcast.
Thanks, Buck. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Well, great. So, Ryan, let's do this. Why don't you kind of tell us a little bit about where you started in terms of your financial journey and kind of give us, and I'll interrupt at various times like I do, to kind of probe a little bit more.
Sure. Well, I'll try not to go all the way back, and I'll try and fast forward through the parts that are a little slow. Yeah. But
you can leave the prenatal parts out if you want.
All right. We'll skip forward a couple years then. So, I was blessed with a dad who was a business owner and and an entrepreneur and owned real estate through through some of the businesses that he had. And so I had a little bit of an indication of, you know, that entrepreneurial spirit. And when I got to high school, I thought I was going to be a financial planner. That was my goal. I was going to college. And for a couple of different reasons, it just didn't really feel like that was where I needed to go. And in the middle of college, I picked up that little purple book that is referenced pretty much on every podcast across this side of the sphere.
I think we just call it the purple pill from now on.
The purple pill. All right.
I think that really is probably captures it, don't you think? It's like go down you take the purple pill and you go down that.
You take the purple pill and then you adapt from what you learned from it. So,
exactly.
Yeah. So after I read that, I was inspired. I thought, hey, man, this is where I'm headed, and reached out to a local real estate investor in Phoenix where I lived at the time. And he said, oh, if you've read that book, you're my guy. You've got the same mindset I do. Let's go. And so I worked on and off with him for about a year or so. And as life goes, I needed a paycheck and was done with college. And so I went down the traditional W-2 route and started on a 401k. And
now, wait a second. You started it as a real estate agent? Or
no, I was just working with him as the purple pill says,
right?
Learn to earn.
Yeah.
So worked with him for a little bit, and then I got into the mortgage industry, started plugging money away into a 401k, and I met another guy who was investing in real estate. And I go, okay, now I gotta dig into this a little more And so eventually learned a little bit from him and where he was headed. And my wife and I bought our first house and closed on it, I think, that the day the market started to crash in Phoenix. So we eventually moved back to Montana, where we're from, and I became an accidental landlord. And so held on to that property, and life kind of moved on for a couple of years. Yeah. And one day a friend of mine asked, you know, what are you doing in finance? I know that that's an interest of yours. What are you doing? And I hadn't really done anything active for a couple of years. So I thought, man, I really don't feel qualified to answer these questions anymore. So I got into the podcast sphere, trying to catch up and learn what I was interested in a long time ago and hadn't really kept up on. So one of those podcasts that I stumbled across was a guy named Buck Joffrey and Wealth Formula.
I've heard of him. Shady character. Yeah. Yes.
As you say, a charlatan, right? No, not at all. You and a couple others were podcasts that I really dug into and became a regular listener, not quite all the way back, but as far back as I can remember, and probably 16 or so. And so that's really where I started to get back into finance and put into place some of the things that were introduced in the Purple Pill. And so through a journey of turnkeys and eventually getting into the syndication, syndication line. One of the things that happened as I started investing in turnkeys was I had a conversation with my wife and I said, you know what, here's the number of turnkey properties we're going to have to buy to replace our income. Mm. And it seemed scalable.
Yeah. It seems silly.
Yeah.
Right.
So kind of hit pause on that. And where it really turned is being able to see the scalability. Obviously, it takes time, but the scalability of getting into passive real estate syndications and Western Wealth was the first one I got into through an introduction through you, and that's kind of where it headed from there. So that's how I got to where I am right now, anyway, as far as when it turned.
So let me ask you this: we keep joking about the purple pill, and some people might actually not know what we're talking about, and we're really talking about the books from Robert Kiyosaki. Now, I'm sure for Ryan, I'm guessing it's Rich Dad Poor Dad.
Yep.
For me, it happened to be, and I think it's just because I was in an airport in Puerto Vallarta, and I had no idea who the guy was, and it was either that or some romance novel. It was like that one guy back in the 90s with the long hair. I can't remember his name, but Yanni was it? I don't know. Whatever. He was on that. So I picked up this book and mine actually ended up being the Cash Flow Quadrant, which I think actually was probably more appropriate for what I was, where I was at in my life. I just finished residency. But let me ask you this. When you read that, when we talk about the purple pill, was that feeling that you had after reading that? Because I've talked to a lot of people, I've experienced it myself for me, I've always described it as sort of a lightning bolt or an awakening of, you know, not just about real estate, but just about like entrepreneurial activity and just being free financially and all that. So what exactly was it when you read that book that changed?
You know, I think it was probably the fact that I was headed down that financial planner route, the traditional route, mm-hmm. as we say, traditional versus the alternative space. And yeah. we can talk about that all day long.
Sure.
But, you know, it took me years to put into practice. But what it introduced to me is the cash flow accumulation versus just the accumulation, you know, buying stocks, hold them forever. Wait till you're 65 and then mm-hmm. turn it into a small stream of income that you can pull off of that stack of cash that you've accumulated forever.
And hopefully you don't outlive it.
And right. hopefully you don't outlive it.
Yeah.
And so really the thing that flipped for me is turning it a cash flow approach versus just an accumulation approach. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he introduces a bunch of different stuff in the book, but that was probably the thing that really flipped for me is going down that way.
Now, one thing too, that I think it's important to talk about, and it made me think of this when you talked about sort of the, you know, how many houses do we have to get kind of thing to replace our income. One of another similar question, Ryan, that I got from an investor one time was, wow, I make $500,000 a year and I'm doing the math here and, you know, it's basically if I'm going to be just looking at cash flow where I'm going to have to invest, I don't know, $7-8 million, right? That's a lot. That's a lot of money to invest for somebody who is making $500,000 a year and probably paying a chunk of that into taxes. And so that was one of the things that I remember thinking, gosh, there's, you know, that purple stuff. You're right on one point, but the author of the purple books himself does things differently. And, you know, mm-hmm. he's introduced that through concepts with Kenny McElroy, right? So Robert yep. Kiyosaki talks about Kenny McElroy. Ken always talks about refinancing, get people's money out. Now, his model has been different than when you were talking about Western Wealth Capital. It's not quite like, you know, turn them quite so fast and, you know, do that kind of thing. It's more like a hold forever. But the concept of velocity became very clear in that. And so the idea then is that you don't have to, you know, pull off $8 million of investments in order to get that cash flow that you want someday. But what you do need to do if you're going to think about having those kinds of cash flows is you really need to figure out how you're going to recycle the capital in and out of multiple opportunities. Did you have that kind of an aha moment too during this? Because I'm guessing that that's probably part of what has drawn you, you know, to the Western Wealth Capital model that you mentioned.
Yeah, that's a great question. And so early on, my thought was let's go for growth and you know eventually turn that velocity around, like you say, right. whether it's a refinance or a disposition of that asset. Let's reinvest that capital and increase that velocity. And that's the formula for wealth formula, right?
Right.
But a thing that changed for me too is that, you know, I'm transitioning out of my W-2 mm-hmm. and I'm transitioning into an entrepreneurial role. And
wait, remind me, what's your W-2 now?
Insurance.
Okay.
Insurance. Okay. So kind of a little bit back to that. I was in a family-owned insurance agency my father started. Mm-hmm. And so we've transitioned and sold that agency. And so right now I'm transitioning out of the role of the agency that I work for now. So so one of the things that changed for me is it used to be growth only, you know, hey, I don't need the income, the cash flow. Let's go for growth. And now I've transitioned to having more of a balance of both growth and income so that there is that healthy balance of having both sides of it while increasing that velocity on the dispositions or refinances with mm-hmm. Western Wealth and other syndicators that I've invested with.
Right, right. You know, because that's a challenging thing. And especially when you're starting from nothing, like if you've got no cash flow whatsoever now, and if you're thinking you're going to try to replace your income and it's just like, you know, it's just like a mountain that you have to climb, but you have to take that first step. But yeah, I mean, that's our switch, I think, largely had to do with that idea of how do you accelerate this process and, you know, create a lot more principle or a lot more, you know, create that bigger stash. So at some point you can, I don't know, buy a Walgreens or do whatever you need to get your 5 or 6% and have a ton of cash flow. So, you know, so you're transitioning out of this business. So what's your life like now when it, in terms of you're looking at, I know you are involved now in getting into a franchise opportunity. Tell me a little bit about, you know, what that is, or, you know, as much as you want about that to tell us, and, you know, why you decided to do that.
Yeah. That's another thing that I've taken from the Buck School of Wealth Formula is last year you had a guest on named Kim Daly. Mm-hmm. And so yeah. I reached out to her and I thought, you know, hey, that's another passive stream of income that I can build up while I'm still working.
Yep.
And kind of it naturally came to a point where I felt a need to go do something different. And so I started the transition out of my W-2, which I'm still working at right now. And we bought into a franchise through Kim Daly. And so I've kind of always had that entrepreneurial bug to have something going. And so it's a really great opportunity now. We're still very early on in our pre-sale process, but it's an opportunity for me to involve my kids, for me to involve family. And so it's something that we can look to grow and build from scratch, but it's also another income opportunity that I have in order to add on to what I have on the passive side through syndications. Mm-hmm. And so really it was meant to be a bridge, but now it's going to be the main focus that I have as a transition out of my W-2 while working to continue building my passive income streams through different investments.
Do you consider yourself right now, as you transition out of your W-2, essentially a full-time investor then?
You know, that's eventually the goal. And I'll take a little bit of a tangent here. One of the things that came out of your group is a relationship with some other Wealth Formula Network members. And so back at the very first meeting, I met Dr. Ian Kurth, and he was, we all know inside the group, we all know Ian, he's been on the podcast now, but I also met a guy named Jim Pfeiffer, and he is, he was on a recent episode too as a Wealth Formula guest. And he and I connected at the very first meetup down in Phoenix, and we kept a conversation going, and we have since formed a tribe. TribeVest is another thing that's been presented through the podcast. He and I joined a tribe together kind of a couple years ago. We thought, you know, these syndications are great, but I want to have diversification.
Yeah.
And so we formed an LLC with 5 members. And so we're able to invest in more deals rather than having to spread ourselves so thin across fewer deals. And so that was a relationship that Jim and I had. And as we had regular conversations, we said, hey, you know, it'd be kind of cool if we could help build a network and educate people about the same things we're doing. And he said, you know, I'm starting a local group up here. Why don't I introduce you to the guys that I'm working with? And so as you were introduced to on one of the last episodes, I'm one of the co-founders of Left Field Investors with Jim, and it's kind of grown out of an organic idea of let's just network with other people that are doing the same thing we're doing and all learn together. And so it's been a really fun journey. But to get back to your question, yes, between kind of working with that community and growing my income streams through passive income, obviously I have this franchise opportunity that'll be a dedication to get up and off the ground. But yes, eventually I do see myself as becoming a full-time investor and having, as you do too, a couple different entrepreneurial endeavors going on at the same time. I kind of have that desire to keep going that way too.
Yeah, for sure. So in terms of the franchise stuff, so, you know, obviously you have the entrepreneurial bug. I think it's probably worthwhile to talk a little bit about that journey as well, because, you know, people, I think about business ownership. They think about starting a business. They think about buying a business. You know, as long as you've gone down this route, you know, take us down sort of your thought process in terms of why you decided to go down the franchise route.
One of the reasons too is I know that starting a business from scratch is a lot of work. Mm-hmm. And so I looked at different opportunities. Is there an opportunity to buy a business? Is there an opportunity to start a business? Or as franchises are kind of a business in a box, and they right. take a lot of those growing pains out of getting a business up and off the ground. And, you know, I'm certain we aren't even open yet. We're still in the pre-sale phase, but you know, it's got a lot of the same heartaches that entrepreneurial endeavors do. But what I've found that's been fun for me anyway, is it's kind of like an MBA in a box. Mm-hmm. I've got all different aspects of business. And so it kind of gives me expertise and the opportunity to kind of work on all aspects of the business and see it from the ground up. So that's been one of the things that, now, obviously, it's a lot of work, but it's been a good experience for me so far.
And I would argue it's probably better than an MBA.
Absolutely.
Because here's the thing is, like, a lot of people, you know, it's funny. People think MBAs, like, learn business. They don't learn business. They learn how to be managers, and they learn maybe a little bit about finance, stuff like that. But they do not teach you, you know, how to be a business owner, you know. They're basically teaching you things, how to work for other people. And I don't say that in a way to denigrate what an MBA is, but you know, my brother's an MBA, smart guy, but no, he's not an entrepreneur. That's not what they taught him. He's like, you know, he was managing a sovereign wealth fund, but that's not, you know, owning the fund or whatever, you know. And what you did, what you're talking about is, I think, really understanding how to operate, learn and operate the components of a business. I think that the franchise route is an interesting one, and people should consider talking to Kim Daly. I think you can look her up. What was her website? It's like Daly something or something.
The Daly Coach.
The yep. Daly Coach, and it's Daly. Kim's really a good person to talk to about that stuff if you're interested. But you know, the that is something that I think is worthwhile for people who are going down the business route and who don't have business experience. I was one of those kamikazes, right? Who kind of like I learned just by like completely going out there and having no idea what I'm doing and just saying, this is how I do it. And then I'm wrong. This is not how I do it. And just finding out that, but that's tough, but that's a different personality type too. And I think for me when I was younger, that's what worked, but check that out as well. So you've gone down this journey. I'm curious, you know, circling back to the idea of tribe, you know, you have Tribe Vest, which was another interesting interview we had a while back ago, where it's a company where these guys basically put together, they essentially act as a function to let people invest in LLCs together so they can make their money go farther away, because sometimes, you know, minimums being, you know, $25,000 or $50,000, and it'll pretty wipe you out if there's, you know, 15 deals a year. So it allows your money to go a little bit longer. But the idea of Tribe Vest, you know, going deeper into the idea of tribe, which I think is an important concept. I'm curious, you know, your experiences through Left Field Investors, through, as you mentioned, you're part of Wealth Formula Network. How important or not important, you tell me, I'm not trying to guide you, mm-hmm. have those been to you in your growth, and how so?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, I'll start first with Wealth Formula Network. Because I've been a longtime listener, what I've found is I never consider myself an expert in any one of these areas. And so one of the things that is relatable for me to your podcast is the ability to bring it down initially when you're introducing concepts to anybody who's being introduced for the first time. And next is action. I used to be a guy that was paralysis by analysis, and so I'd stop and I'd wait. But, you know, a couple of things other than what we've mentioned that I've taken from this network is biweekly calls. I'm not able to be on the calls, but I listen to them. And I've really invested heavily in going down the path of syndications, but also wealth formula banking. You've had an episode there where we're able to dive deeper into that. But really, the way I see it is, if I'm surrounding myself with smarter people, you know, you hear the concept that you are the summation of the five people you hang around. Well, if I'm surrounding myself with smart people and people who are doing some of the things that I like to and want to do, I'm going to have that incremental learning journey where, you know, I started with turnkeys, and that may not be where I'm headed in the future, but then I was introduced to syndications and wealth formula banking and other concepts that I've really tried to see and filter through what works for me and what fits my journey, and then take action. And you know, I might fail sometimes, but largely over the course of time, it's been a great network to be a part of, and I've tried to implement the things that work and fit in my journey.
How much of it do you think is just courage? I think that part of the value of these, you know, whether it be my group or the one that you and Jim have through Left Field Investors, is you find a tribe and you see others doing what you think you want to do, and they're actually doing it. And it provides a little bit of a courage element as well, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, we talk about it in Wealth Formula Network, and that's a big part of how Left Field Investors started. When Jim and I first met, he was one of, if not the first person that I had met who actually invested in the same syndication that I did. You know, as you talk about too, you know, money and finance and the things we talk about there, you don't have a lot of those in your circle of friends. Yeah. So that's why we find these networks that do. And so one of the things that Jim and I connected on is that connection on courage of, hey, we're both doing the same thing. Let's find other people who are. And he had organically kind of started that out in Columbus, and COVID kind of allowed us to explore expanding our network outside of Columbus, Ohio, in order to grow our group. And one of the things I've found with Left Field Investors is it's just a community of like-minded individuals who are trying to learn. We're all in different parts of our journey, and we're just learning from each other. And that's what I found. I never want to be the smartest guy in the room, and I probably never will be. And so I learn something with every engagement I have with your group and or with Left Field Investors. It just gives me that incremental knowledge every time I engage with either one.
It's funny because it's almost like, you know, I remember in medicine, and you know, for non-physicians, this may sound scary, but the old adage was, see one, do one, teach one. With the emphasis on one, right? But that's kind of what it sounds like. But and what does it feel like to be on sort of the starting the group side of things, as opposed to being, you know, do you feel like you're learning more, you know, on that end too?
Yeah. You know, I think one of the things that is fun with our group, there's five of us that are, Jim founded it, and there's five of us in that founders group. And we've all got different skill sets. And, you know, I've learned where my weaknesses are. I've learned where my strengths are as it relates to being an investor. And then as the group expands, you just learn so much from that group. There's people who have worked with different syndicators that I've never heard of, or there are people who are using different strategies that I've never heard of or tried. And so really, it's just an exploration of people who are doing, and then we just pick and choose what makes sense for us, what makes sense for our journey, and what have we not even considered or learned about yet.
Yep. I highly encourage that kind of setup. I think it's great, whether it's Wealth Formula Network or just a few of your friends or whatever. Check that out. I want to leave the show with, and I'm going to put you on the spot here. Think of one or two things in the last couple of years, specific things that you have learned either through Wealth Formula or Wealth Formula Network, or, you know, things that we talk about that you think have made the biggest impact, you know, whether it's conceptually or whatever, in your personal journey. And I'm asking you this not because I want a pat on the back, but because sometimes it's hard in my position to understand, you know, I'm sitting there like thinking about this stuff all the time, and I forget what things people that are just starting on this journey, like, what do they find most useful, most valuable? And I'm trying to like sort of liquidate that down. If you could think of one or two things, tell us what those are, the lessons or whatever.
Lessons learned. Why you did put me on the spot.
Yeah, I did.
I think one of the things too is once you flip that switch, whatever that is, from conventional wisdom to there's another path, whether we call it alternative or whatever you want to call it. Once you've either been introduced to it or flip that switch mentally, I think that's probably one of the things that I've taken from, you know, there isn't every episode that relates to me or every Wealth Formula mm-hmm. Network call that relates to me, but I'm introduced to different topics that I can know and understand and learn about. So I think just having the diversity in what other people are doing in that network of people to collaborate with and learn from is one of the things. But one of the things that I'm particularly high on is Wealth Formula Banking. I think that goes back to, you know, it's a lesson in patience in building that framework. But it's also, in my mind, it's one of the things that seems simple and probably boring, but it's foundational, I think, in your investing journey for how you can structure and add velocity and add arbitration into your investing path. And so that's one of the things that I've really taken hold of, as well as an introduction to syndicators and other people. Really, the network is probably the third piece or key that I've pulled out of the groups that I'm involved with. Because like you said, if you're just on this, you know, on your own and you're not talking to anybody about it because nobody around you has the yeah. same interest or desire, you're not probably going anywhere. But I've grown exponentially by being part of the networks than I ever would have on my own.
Are you coming to Dallas?
I've got it penciled in on my calendar. I've got to move a couple things, but I'm planning to come to Dallas.
Yeah. Talk about that, what that experience is like. So I know you've been to a couple, right? And this has been, it's been sort of sad that we didn't have a Wealth Formula meetup, in the, you know, now for almost 2 years, I think. Yeah. But not as a plug, but this is an experience I try to explain to people. It's not really just about the information, but the types of people you meet and the connections you make at that kind of event.
Yeah. Well, like I said, you know, Ian Kurth was literally the first person I met in the lobby. He and I kind of recognized each other from yeah. calls or from the Facebook group or whatever. So he yeah. was the first person that I met. And obviously he's kind of the him and Jerry are kind of the quote unquote mascots of our group.
Poster boys, right?
The poster boys. So I use that as an example along with Jim. Those are two people that I met on the very first time, and I've had a relationship with them since. But I think really what the meetups do is, yes, there are great speakers. I met Tom Wheelwright and Kenny McElroy and several others that you hear, you know, mm-hmm. across the podcasts and the books and stuff mm-hmm. that they have. But the networking is really where it changes. Even if you're part of the Wealth Formula Network yeah. group and calls, that's one form of engagement. But personal one-on-one or group networking down at those events is really key. As well as if, you know, I was an investor in Western Wealth deals before I went, but the tours there really take you through the visual of what you see in an email or the updates, to making it real life and talking to Tim or Dave and understanding the process. If you're an investor in that, it really takes it to another level. So,
yeah, no, it's good stuff. And I'm looking forward to it. And it's also nice, you know, because Tim McCleary's out there buying drinks for everybody, especially after he has one or two himself. He's out there. He becomes sort of the Mother Teresa of beer. And he's buying everybody's stuff. So anyway, it's great to have you on, Ryan. And you know, we'll love to see what's happening with you. Obviously, I get to connect with you every couple of weeks on these calls. But, you know, I'm curious what will happen with all these franchises. Keep us in the know on that. And when your experience really kind of comes to fruition, we should have you back on and talk about it some more.
Sure. I'd love to.
All right, we'll be right back. Welcome back to the show, everybody. Hope you enjoyed it. And that was a third in a series of three of individual one-on-one investors. Next week, we're going to have something that is somewhat similar, but you'll have three investors, including Ryan, on there. And we're going to talk a little bit about wealth formula banking, because it seems like everybody we've talked to has had, you know, such a positive experience about that. So we're going to focus on just that with a few different investors, and that should be fun. But in the meantime, if you like this, if you, you know, if you liked what you heard, hopefully you got something out of it. I'm going to go back to that same point. Consider joining a like-minded investor group. Doesn't have to be Wealth Formula Network, but we're happy to have you. And if you're interested in doing that, go and check it out, wealthformularoadmap.com. That's it for me this week on Wealth Formula Podcast. This is Buck Joffrey signing out.
Thank you for listening to the Wealth Formula Podcast. Visit us on the web at wealthformula.com. The information contained in this podcast are opinions, not fact. As always, consult your own financial team before making any investment. See you next time.
Buck Joffrey here from Sapio with Buck Joffrey. Aging might become reversible over the next 10 to 20 years. It's already being done in lab animals, so it's just a matter of time. Our challenge? To be healthy enough for when that time comes. As a former scientist and surgeon myself, my goal is to figure out how to do that and to share it with you. I wrote a book called Living Longer for Busy People that you can download for free at sapiopodcast.com. You'll be amazed at just how a few daily adjustments can add years of a healthy life for you. Again, download it for free, sapiopodcast.com.